There's a power that we have in prayer. Prayer itself is very powerful. When we pray in the Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit within us. There's a power that's in prayer. There's a power to move mountains. There's a power to move hearts. And you see that in the first reading today. So I'd like to go over the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles today and show you the power of prayer. So you have Paul and Silas are in the city of Philippi. And they're stirring up a commotion because they're preaching about Jesus, which, of course, if you preach about Jesus, you're gonna stir up people. Whenever you preach about Jesus, the demons are gonna stir up. Okay? It's even today. You preach about Jesus, it stirs things up. Okay, it's not always going to be let there be peace on earth, as Jesus says. So Jesus creates division. And so they're preaching about Jesus, Paul and Silas. And the people are mad at them, the magistrates. So they strip them, and then they're beaten with rods. So they're not beaten with, say, like the Roman scourging like Jesus was. They're given a beating just with rods. But it's enough. If you're beat with rods, you're going to be bruised all over. You're probably going to be bleeding. So it's going to hurt, and they're probably beaten on the back. And so then they're thrown into prison. Now, you have to remember, this is the time before Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. You have to think of this. Think of it. Roman times, they don't have light bulbs. So they're thrown in jail, and the jail is completely dark. It's completely black. And so they're in the jail, and it's at midnight. Now, think about this. Paul and Silas have just been beaten with rods. They're in a dungy prison, and they're secure with chains. They chain their hands and their feet at the stake, so they can't even move. It's not even like they can move freely in the jail. They're chained in the jail, and it's midnight. It's completely dark, and their wounds must have caused a lot of pain. I got a wound the other day. You see, I have a Band-Aid on it. I put a Band-Aid. They didn't have a Band-Aid on their wounds. Think about that. And so they're in pain. And what are they doing? Think about this. It's midnight. What are they doing? They're praying to God, and they're singing songs to the Lord. Think about that. How many of you, if you were beaten for the love of Jesus Christ and thrown into jail, would start singing and praying to God and thanking the Lord? And I can imagine with their chains, they're probably making music out of their chains. They're probably, you know, making a chain will sound like a tambourine. And the other prisoners are hearing them. And so now there was a jailer, it's probably a Roman jailer. He was commissioned to guard them with his life, to guard the prisoners with his life. And so Romans are very obedient. And so the jailer is there. He's guarding the prisoners with his life. And suddenly, as Paul and Silas are singing and praying to God, this is at midnight. This is in the middle of the night. They're not even sleeping. This is something for all you night owls there. They're not even sleeping. They're joyful. And what happens? Their prayer moves heaven so much that heaven begins to move on earth. An earthquake happens. It begins shaking. The whole jail is shaking. It's a violent earthquake. And the jail shakes so much that all their chains are broken. The doors fly open in the jail. And now they could just walk out. Think about this. You're in jail, that you have bruises on your back. Your chains have just been released. It's dark, and you can just walk out of the jail. And what does Paul and Silas do? They're enjoying their time in jail. They stay there. They don't move. They don't leave the jail. Can you imagine that? They stay in the jail. It's kind of unthinkable. Why would they stay in the jail? Maybe the Holy Spirit said, stay here, because I'm going to do something greater than just release you from the jail. There's something greater I want to do. And so the jailer, he wakes up, so he must have been sleeping. And he thinks that he probably woke up because of the earthquake. And he sees the prison doors open. And he thinks that, oh no, I was sleeping on the job. This earthquake happened. All the prisoners have left. I'm going to be in trouble. And so he probably was afraid that he would suffer execution. And so he's in despair, and he's about to commit suicide. He draws his sword, and he's about to commit suicide. And Paul yells out to him that, do no harm to yourself, we are all here. So Paul probably even told the other prisoners, don't escape. Maybe the other prisoners were Christians. And he said, don't escape. And he says, do no harm. And so the jailer is astounded. He's astounded by the earthquake because of the prayers and the singing of Paul and Silas. He's astounded that they did not flee after their chains were released. And so the jailer sees that there's something greater here. And he asks for a torch, and he goes in to the jail cell to see Paul and Silas, and he's trembling with fear. Why is he trembling with fear? Because he sees something greater. He sees something that their God is greater. And so he falls down at the feet of Paul and Silas, and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's a repentance within this jailer that he wants to be saved, not just from his earthly life, but he wants something greater. And so Paul and Silas say, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved. And then they speak the word to this jailer. And the jailer takes him to his house, and they speak the word to all of his household members. You have to remember, a Roman household would consist of a lot of people. Would consist of relatives and children and also slaves and maybe the slaves' children. So it would consist of a lot of people, a Roman household. It could be anywhere from 10 up to 15 or 20 people, depending on the size of the house and how many servants that they have. And so it's at that hour of the night, then they bathe their wounds, and Paul and Silas baptize the entire family. This is why we can have infant baptisms. See this? Because there would have been infants there. They would have baptized the infants. And so then the jailer and his family, then they provide a meal for him, and they rejoice. They rejoice at coming to the faith in God, coming to the faith in the Lord Jesus. This story, yes, is about Paul and Silas, but I think it's even more about the jailer, the Roman jailer, that he was on the point of suicide. Think about that. He was on the point of despair in his life. And it took Paul and Silas and the grace of God and the grace of baptism to bring him from despair to, at the end of the story, to joy. To joy at coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus can do in our lives. When we feel like we're in despair, we feel like we just want to end it all, then the Lord Jesus comes in there with the power of his Spirit and can transform us from the inside out, can bring us from despair to hope. And it can still happen this day, 2024, that there's always hope. But how does that conversion happen? It happens through prayer, like Paul and Silas, prayer and singing. You can sing to the Lord. Singing is praying twice, as St. Augustine says. And suffering, that Paul and Silas went through suffering also. So prayer and suffering can convert hearts. And that's where we need to pray and pray and sing to the Lord and also suffer for the Lord. And when we suffer, you know what we do? We pray and we sing to the Lord. We don't complain. We don't complain. Too many complainers. Don't complain. If you suffer for the Lord, rejoice, because then you're suffering with Christ. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to rejoice in your sufferings. It's not easy to rejoice in your sufferings, but that's what Paul and Silas were doing in the jail. With the power of the Spirit, how do you do it? The power of the Spirit. Always call on the Holy Spirit to help you to rejoice and to pray. And when you do that, then the Lord will convert hearts. He will convert those in despair. You will give people hope to come to the Lord Jesus and to receive the salvation that the Lord wants to bring to each and to every person.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.